For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's so good to see everyone out this evening. Laura, it's so good to see you. We've missed you. It's good to see those young children with us, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us again. As I said this morning, we've been studying on Sunday evenings Hosea and doing a series through that book, and I want to take a break from that this evening and tie in something with our class that we're studying on Wednesdays on coping with problems. And what I want us to talk about this evening is toxic people. In our class, we said that we are probably responsible for more of our problems than anybody else. We create a lot of our own problems. However, there are people out there that we have to deal with every day, and they are, as I have on this illustration, to put it bluntly, they're just poison that robs the joy from us. And they make us fearful, and they try to take away this spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So as we get into this, what are we talking about with a toxic person? This was from WebMD. If you know someone who's difficult and causes a lot of conflict in your life, you may be dealing with a toxic person. These people can create lots of stress and unpleasantness for you and others, not to mention emotional or even physical pain. A toxic person is anyone whose behavior adds negativity and upset to your life. And I imagine a few of us run into people like that from time to time. Many times people who are toxic are dealing with their own stresses and traumas. To do this, they act in ways that don't present them in the best light, usually upset others along the way. And toxicity in people isn't considered a mental disorder, but there are and could be underlying mental problems that cause someone to act in toxic ways, including a personality disorder. So again, this is not some definition I made up. It's from WebMD, and I believe it's always good when we're talking about a subject to start out by defining the definition of it. So a few things to think about as we get into this with toxic people. Did God create some people with sound minds and others with unsound minds? Does God give us free will as to what we fill our minds with? Would an orderly God create our minds to be disordered? And is God's word adequate to solve the problems of life? And again, as we've seen, a lot of dealing with coping with problems in life is because we have not gotten the right priority in life to put God first. We must understand that is the most important thing, and the other things will fall into place. But then when people don't do that and they have different challenges in life, we come up with all kinds of labels to justify or to give them an excuse for their behavior. And is God's word adequate to solve the problems of life? A lot of people will say, no, it isn't. It's not adequate. You need this book, you need that book, you need this, you need that. But stop and think, who would know better about man's life, than the creator of life, God? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So the problem isn't that the Bible isn't sufficient. The problem isn't that God isn't able to help us. The problem is that we go looking to other places for the answer to our problems instead of to the one that created us. And a lot of times when people fall into something that is troubling in their life, and we hear this so often, that person is just a victim of this, they're a victim of that, and they like to play the victim card. Don't listen when the world says you're a victim. And why do they call themselves a victim? It's to get out of responsibility. Because if somebody else is responsible for me being a certain way, then I have an excuse for not doing what I ought to do. But we are each individually responsible for ourselves. I'm not responsible for you. You aren't responsible for me. Victim playing. Victim playing is the fabrication, the making up or exaggeration of victimhood for a variety of reasons. It might be to justify abuse of others, to manipulate others, a coping strategy, attention seeking, diffusion of responsibility. And a person who repeatedly does this is known as a professional victim. And again, if you work with people in any kind of management role on a job, you'll hear 101 excuses every day why people can't get this done. This happened, that happened. I was going to, I'm just a victim of circumstances. Are we a victim of circumstances here in this world? Friends, if we are a Christian, we are not. God says we are not a victim. God says that we are a victor. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see so many people, you'll see them today, tomorrow, you run into people, they feel like they'll say the world's out of control, and it may seem like the world's out of control, but God is in control of everything. We are putting our faith and trust in the wrong things. We are putting our faith and trust in the things that we see instead of in the unseen, instead of God. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. When we have faith in God, we put our faith and trust in God. Again, we are not going to be distracted by the things of this world, because we know we are just pilgrims passing through. We live, you think about Paul. Paul had a dual citizenship. Paul was a citizen of the Roman government, but Paul did not consider that his primary citizenship. He was a citizen of the kingdom of God. And our citizenship, we should realize when we are part of the kingdom, this any and all the nations that have ever existed have risen up and have fallen. We are citizens of that kingdom that will never be shaken, that eternal kingdom. And when we realize that, we have faith, we have confidence, we can have the victory. Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Friends, we just don't squeak by. We are conquerors. We are more than conquerors. And again, I think this is important for us to consider as we are beginning a new year. There's so much turmoil, unrest, uncertainty. But as Christians, and back like to our class, think of those illustrations that I said we need to keep in mind. We need to think of a compass, so we know the direction we're going in. Need to think of a rudder that directs us in the way we need to go. We need to have sails to help move us along, and we need to have an anchor so we don't drift away. So God says that we are a victor, not a victim. Now, our body becomes what we consume. Our mind becomes what we consume. Be careful how you feed both. And again, when you see a tree outside, you see how big the branches are, the roots underneath are at least the same size. They go out to the same reach. And that's the way it is with their mind. Someone will say something, they'll do something. That's a manifestation of what's in their heart. Direction determines destination. There are different places and organizations that say you need to do this, you need to do that for health, well-being. But what's going to judge us? It's going to be the Word of God, John 12:48. The problem is, though, with people, we do not want to follow what God told us. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. See, when people say, I wish God would just leave me alone. I wish God would just leave me alone. In Romans 1, we have an example of when God did that. And he just left them alone. And what happens? He turned them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And friends, you can take about any one of that group, and you'll find some label that the world will put on them, that it's not their fault that they are that way. They are a victim of this or that. And so this is one of the lists like that. We have another one in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So you look at the list in 1 Corinthians and this other list, and Paul says, but such were some of you. But what does the world tell us? Well, they were born that way. They can't change. They're a victim of how they were born. And the Bible doesn't teach that. And friends, I say this with love in my heart. You know, some people don't like to hear that. And this is not what I'm saying. It's what is revealed in God's Word. And that is the word that it is going to judge us in the last day. And if we aren't aware of that, we are going to stand not in favor with God. God does not call these behaviors disorders. God calls them sin. And see, that's another problem that we have in this country. People don't think that sin exists anymore. Whatever happened to sin? It's been redefined. It's been overlooked. It's been changed. Again, just you look at what has happened with the family and how people, you have God's pattern back in Genesis, one man, one woman, and then how it has changed all down through time as it talks about in these passages, homosexuals, women with women, sodomites. And people justify that and say that's okay. And then they say, but it's wrong to do something with the baby. Pretty soon, that's going to go away. And we shouldn't be surprised, because we see, back to the earlier slide, we move in the direction that we're going. And we see how the family is going. And with toxic people, again, back to the definition, we see that they cause stress in our lives, they suck the energy out of us, but also they take us away from our mission. As Christians, we have a God-given mission. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we are ambassadors. We are we are representatives of Christ to the world. And how can we do that if we are stressed out, if we are busy, if we are focused on this or that? If you allow them, toxic people, they'll be glad to run your life and distract you from your goals in life. How do we recognize toxic people? Am I feeling drained right now? Does it seem like the person is draining my emotions? Sometimes you talk to people and you walk away and you just feel so empty. Am I walking on eggshells? Am I afraid to say the wrong thing because they might react negatively? Am I ignoring my own voice? Is the person making it hard for me to listen to myself and follow my own values? Do I feel smaller and less important around this person? Again, they are taking out the joy. And God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's what Satan is trying to give us every day. Well, what are some characteristics of toxic people? Some of them, and this is not... different people can have these. These are just identifiers that when we hear one of these things, our ears ought to perk up and we ought to pay a little more attention to what this person is like. They will badmouth someone. Titus 3:1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. They complain. John 6:43, Jesus answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. They ask for special treatment. They boast. They put you on the defensive. And remember too, friends, when somebody is bad-mouthing somebody else, when they are gossiping, when they are complaining about somebody else, if you're listening and you're involved in that, you can just be sure that they are going to gossip about you to someone else. It's a toxic person. 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And again, one of the biggest forms of idolatry today is self-worship. God created us to worship Him, Revelation 4. Instead of worshiping God, we want to worship ourselves. He goes on listing other things that happened, and all of this was for our example. So, some more characteristics. They make you work to please them. They don't show interest in your concerns. They're usually draining instead of encouraging. They use people instead of loving them. They enjoy fighting with people instead of enjoying and appreciating people. We come around this type of person too often. And again, if we allow them, they'll be glad to run our life and distract us from our goals in life. They may be jealous of healthy people's peace, family, and friendships. They seek to bring people down to their level of misery rather than lifting up. They seek to control you. And some people, they want to stop you from being you. Why do you do it this way? Why do you do this? Why don't you do it like this? Why don't you do it like that person over there? They want to stop you from being you. And that person is just going to drain us and make us feel empty. So we need to learn how to deal with toxic people. And I have it isn't mainly about protecting your joy, your peace, your reputation, your sanity. Those are important, and we need to do that. We need to protect our joy because somebody's going to try to take it from us. Our peace, our reputation, our sanity. I know people say bad things about people. People will tell me that somebody said something about me, and the first thing that goes through my mind is, why were you listening? And it's something my dad taught me from an early age. He said, whenever somebody starts talking about somebody else, you say, wait a minute, let's get that other person so the three of us are talking together, and then we'll all be on the same page. We won't be guilty of gossip. But there's so much of that goes on. So it isn't just about protecting our joy, our peace, our reputation, our sanity. It's about protecting our mission. And this person may need our help, but not to the exclusion of being an ambassador for Christ. All Christians have a God-given mission, as we saw in 2 Corinthians 5:20. But if we allow them, they'll be glad to run our life and distract us from our goals in life. So how do we deal with them? How should we react with them? Well, we should speak the truth to them in love. Ephesians 4:15. We need to be truthful. We need to have love when we talk to everybody. Again, as we were talking about the unmerciful servant this morning, somebody wrongs us, we just got to let it go. We need to forgive them as soon as it happens, because if we don't, that's going to be a weight, a burden that we are going to be dragging through our life. We need to let it go. We need to speak the truth to them in love. We need to let them know that they are sinning against God. And when they are being abusive in their language or their actions, they're sinning against God and us. And I've been guilty of this too. Somebody will say something to me, very unkind, and it's back to like one of those earlier things. I feel like I need to walk on eggshells instead of saying, excuse me, what you're saying is not true, it's not accurate, you're being abusive. And a lot of times we think if we don't see bruises on somebody, they aren't abusive. But the words, you can see that so much in children. When a parent talks down to a child, or a spouse talks to another spouse and they use abusive language, you just see that child or that person shrivel up. You see the life sucked out of them. Friends, God doesn't want us to live that way. And it's not only for their good that we speak the truth and love to them, but it's not only for their good that they have someone to stand up, but it's good for us as well. We need to learn to be someone that is in control. We don't let the winds toss us to and fro. And you think about Christ, and two of the ways that he was illustrated, a lion and a lamb. And whenever he was attacked personally, he reacted like a lamb. He had that very meek, gentle nature. But if someone attacked the Word, they attacked God, he was like a lion. And you see that over and over when the Pharisees would come after him and he would be teaching something. And he called them, I think in Matthew 24, there are like seven woes. Woe, you hypocrites. He would repeat that over and over and called them out on everything because they needed to be called out. Well, we need to speak the truth in love to them. We need to avoid playing into their victim mentality. Some people have a tendency to see themselves as the victim in every situation. If they mess up, they might shift the blame to someone else or tell a story that paints them in a more positive light. And again, you see, some people, that's their modus operandi in life. I'm a victim. I'm a victim. They never have a dollar in their wallet. They never have a good thing to say. They are never doing, their health is always terrible. How are you doing? Oh, you wouldn't believe how I'm doing. all the bad luck in the world descended down on them. Don't get caught up in that. avoid playing into their game because they like to draw people in. You think about toxic people. You see, we need to help them, and this isn't being selfish, but we need to take care of ourselves first. And I think we understand this. If we've ever flown on a plane, the oxygen mask dropped down, put your own mask on first, and then help the person next to you. You'll hear that over and over every time. And why is that? Because if we don't take care of ourselves, we won't be able to help anybody else. If we try to help somebody else and then we die in the process, both of us have lost. So taking care of ourselves involves making sure you have enough emotional energy to meet your own needs. This may not happen when you're giving everything to someone who doesn't offer anything in return. How do we get enough emotional energy to meet our needs? Friends, as a Christian, if we are feeling drained, something is wrong. We have God's word that we can read, that we can hide in our heart. We have our Heavenly Father that we can talk to, the one that created everything, the one that sustains everything, the one, He knows what we need before we even ask Him, and He loves us like a father. We have in the Gospels, if a man asks his earthly father something, the earthly father is going to give him something. You ask for a piece of bread, he's not going to give you a fish, he's going to give you what you need. How much more is our Heavenly Father going to give us what we need? But we need to ask Him for it. We have His Word, we can go to Him in prayer. The songs that we sing, you know, we've got lots of songbooks, and I've got more in the office, and there's songbooks upstairs, and if anybody wants a songbook to have at home, they're great to just turn through. I've got like half a dozen different books, but they're great to just start reading through songs for the day, and it'll lift you up. Coming together with one another, we get an emotional charge. We're recharged. We're energized. Coming together. That's why God wants His people to come together. So we've got to take care of ourselves. A few other things. Sometimes we should just not be around them. Even the church exercises the right to remove someone from their membership for their lack of repentance in order to preserve the holiness and health of the body. We read about that in Matthew 18, talking about church discipline, that unruly person that's not going to change. You need to remove that person from the church. We also have the example of a place not doing that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where the man was living with his father's wife, living in sin with his father's wife. And they weren't ashamed of it. They were proud of it. And Paul said the Gentiles wouldn't even accept such a thing. And he needs to repent or get him out of there. People who behave in a toxic way tend to focus on themselves and what they want. That goes back to its selfishness. It's idolatry. They might blame you or other people for any problems they have and show little interest in your feelings or needs. This can make them spending time with them unpleasant. Sometimes we just come across people, they'll tell us everything that we've done wrong, whether it's right or not. If we allow them, they'll be glad to run our life and distract you from your goals in life. You know, I think God gave me a pretty good roadmap of how to live my life right here. And He gave it to all of us, and we're all going to do it a little bit differently because we are all individuals. But if you're trying to follow this roadmap and I'm trying to follow it, I'm going to encourage you. I'm not going to say you shouldn't do this and do that and on and on and on. Something else we need to do is set and communicate boundaries. Boundaries are essential. You think about this. I substituted borders here for boundaries, But this is a well-known fact. No borders, no countries. No borders, no peace. It's just chaos. And when we have no boundaries in our life, we don't have peace. We have chaos. We have chaos. We need to set boundaries. Setting boundaries involves deciding what you will and won't tolerate. Now, I don't think Jim would mind me calling him, but if I started calling him at 1 o'clock every morning, 1 o'clock at night, I don't think he'd like that. He'd say, wait a minute, Bruce, we need to set some boundaries here. If we started calling somebody some names or accusing them of something, we'd need to say, wait a minute, we need to set some boundaries. Parents need to set boundaries with children. Have you ever been in a store or anywhere and you see little children talk to the parent like that little child's the boss? It's sad. It's sad. You see, those parents didn't learn to set boundaries with their children with what's appropriate, what's right, and what's wrong. Communicate these boundaries clearly and stick to them. So we've got to set some boundaries. Sometimes we have to keep some distance. And again, this term toxic, it can cover a wide variety of characteristics and people, but you go back to that basic definition, they're going to create negativity and suck the joy out of your life. And being too close to the wrong people can ruin you. Whether it's the rotten pear, the rotten apple out in the world or in the church. And you see people, I was talking with David about this. It's like the dumbing down of America. You see these ideas and philosophies and things brought in that are being taught, and then people start accepting it, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And then we have children coming out of schools and universities that they would not recognize or understand what we were taught at all when we were in school, because it's this gradual change. It's again, the direction determines the destination. So we need to talk to them about their behavior. We need to stand strong in our faith. Speak the truth in love to them. Avoid playing into their victim mentality. We need to put our oxygen mask on, take care of ourselves first. We need to stand strong and let them walk away. Sometimes we need to say no, and we need to walk away. Remember, we aren't at fault. We're going along minding our business, and this person comes along trying to run our life and distract us from our goals. The motive, I'm not going to say their motive, but it all goes back to a problem of sin. It all goes back to a problem of sin. We need sometimes to limit our time together. You want to talk to me about this? Fine. I've got 15 minutes tomorrow afternoon. We need to set and communicate boundaries. We need to extend forgiveness and pray for them. Friends, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We need to remember that. Going into this year, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Friends, I want to enjoy the plan that God has for me, not enjoy the plan that this person over here has for me. Thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. And we know from this psalm also that it talks about this book being written about us before we were even born. God knows our life. He has this plan. It's not a plan for scarcity and chaos and trouble. It's a plan for life and fullness and joy and peace and a sound mind, a sound mind. Friends, the world is looking for that. And they're looking in all the wrong places. There's that song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. They're looking They're looking for this in all the wrong places. The only place you're going to find it is in God, in His Word. He said eternity in our hearts. Those things will make people feel good. It'll give them satisfaction. It'll give them pleasure for a short time. For a short time. And you can talk to people that have run in the bars and gone to the clubs and had so many interactions with this man and this woman. And it was pleasurable for a time. God is the only one that truly knows how to satisfy us. This is dealing with toxic people. We need to be aware of this. Not let them rob our joy as we go into the year. And again, we'll take this and work it into our Wednesday evening class, coping with problems and the things that come along in our life. Friends, God has the answer for everything. God has the answer for where did we come from, who are we, where are we going, what do we need to do. He's explained all of that. He's taught us that we have sinned when we do not follow His Word. He's taught us what we need to do. He's told us that someday there's going to be a judgment. And when that judgment happens, then we are going to receive our reward. Our reward for doing right is going to be eternal life. Our reward for not obeying Him, He's going to pay us for that also. He's going to pay us what we deserve. It's going to be eternal death. Eternal life, eternal death. The choice is up to us. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.